To convene the Senate Committee on Revenue, I'd like to welcome the members. And today on our schedule is a work session, House Bill 2052, 2136, Senate Bill 965, and House Bill 2079. Now, House Bill 2079 has some amendments that will be proposed and we will deal with on Thursday of this week. That is our intended schedule. So hopefully all those who are in agreement on that bill will accommodate that. We also, when we have a quorum present, will be rescinding the vote by which we passed House Bill 2052, and apparently that has been taken care of in another bill, specifically
Bill 123.
Senate Bill 123, and so we don't need to pass that bill on, and so we will rescind it, bring it to us, and just allow it to lie on the table, assuming others arrive. So, we will begin with a public hearing on Senate Bill 965. I'll open that public hearing. Dave Harmon is here. Ed Patterson's in the room. I just left. Gil Ryan was here. Or no, he isn't.
He was.
He left too. Welcome. No, no. Oh, we'd be happy to have your testimony.
The last time I came, Ed didn't warn me how to do this, so this time I have prepared testimony.
All right. Thank you for that.
Honorable Chairman and unfortunate missing members, my name is Dave Harmon. I'm the administrator of Harney District Hospital in Burns. I appreciate this opportunity to talk before you in support of 965. In addition to serving as the hospital administrator in Burns for nearly 10 years, I also served as a rural hospital administrator in Canyonville, Oregon for 7 years, currently serve on the governing boards of the Oregon Association of Hospitals, the Oregon Rural Health Association, Central Oregon Network of Hospitals, Central Oregon Independent Health Services, and past chair of the Cascades East Area Health Education Center. I'm very fortunate to have been involved in health care in rural Oregon, and certainly testify to both the joys and the difficulties. One of the major difficulties is the recruitment and retention of physicians. In the mid-80s, Harney County experienced a dramatic loss of physicians due to a variety of reasons, ultimately leaving only one physician actively practicing in the county. And obviously one physician couldn't serve the needs of the county, and many residents were forced to travel 130 miles either to Bend or to Ontario. The hospital's patient volume dropped off proportionately, and annual operating losses approached $750,000. The scenario is not unique to Harney County, continues to be played out in other rural communities, though hopefully not to the same degree. In 1989, through a combination of hard work and good fortune, the community was able to recruit a family doctor and a general surgeon to begin a turnaround for the hospital and medical community. In the following years, we continued to be successful in recruiting physicians due to many factors, including a new medical office building that was first conceived in 1996 and opened its doors in October of 1998. The building replaced the former clinic built in 1950, which was too small and inefficient for the practice of medicine. Since opening the building, we've recruited two additional physicians and are in the process of interviewing for another. This new building was built by the health district in order to enhance the medical community and ensure an adequate and stable number of physicians for the county. A relatively common occurrence today for hospitals to own medical office buildings, as most new physicians want to practice medicine and not become building managers. However, in rural areas that are normally financially fragile, as is Harney County, the building of such a facility is a challenge. Together with our medical staff, we conceived a building which would adequately serve the physicians and the community, and which, though financed by the district, would be paid for by physician rent receipts. This seems fair to all of us, and actually is working. In developing the financing for this project, however, we didn't allow for property taxes, as we are tax-exempt and understood that the operation of a medical office building is an accepted related hospital operation. Subsequently, we discovered that while the district couldn't be taxed, The law allowed for property taxes to be levied against the physicians renting the building. We feel the slight positive effect of a marginal increase in county property tax receipts would be offset by several negative effects. First, and most importantly, as the rent and operating costs for this building are already significantly higher than they were in the prior facility, the additional expense of property taxes would be a disincentive for the continued recruitment and retention of physicians. Second, though the taxes are levied against the physicians, there's no requirement for them to pay, and any subsequent liens for not paying would be against district property. This could place an additional burden on the district should it ever want to sell the property. However, since the district probably would not ever sell the property, the whole process ultimately becomes a waste of county resources in assessing, taxing, and liening for no real purpose. I ask for this legislation to be drafted. As presented, the legislation would apply only to health districts in frontier counties, such as Harney, Lake, and Grant. It would help these communities with physician recruitment and retention. It would not actually reduce taxes in effect, as these properties really haven't been taxed in the past, and it would eliminate real estate paperwork. I've discussed this with my local county officials and have their endorsement, and I'd ask this committee to approve this bill and recommend it to the Center for Passage. I thank you for listening. Any questions?
We thank you. Well, listen to the additional testimony, and if anybody has a question, and then we'll see if we can come up with something.
Thank you.
Thank you. Patterson?
Mr. Chairman, I'm Ed Patterson, representing the Oregon Association of Hospitals and Health Systems, and I'm here to support Senate Bill 965. We have four district hospitals in the state that are in frontier counties: Wallowa County, Harney County, Lake County, and Grant County. And those are the only four counties that would be affected by this legislation. As Dave Harmon indicated, the counties are not paying taxes now on the property. There would be no impact on the local county tax revenue from property taxes, and in fact probably has a positive impact in terms of the economic status of those small counties based on their ability to recruit physicians, retain physicians in their community. We support the bill.
Thank you. Mr. Riddell.
Chairman, members of the committee, Gail Riddell, Association of Oregon Counties, I'd like to offer what I hope would be seen as a friendly amendment, and that would be a local option, essentially a sign-off by the county governing body to this exemption. We're dealing primarily with local revenues, and if the situation where there are physicians needed is present, then I would assume you'd have the appropriate response from the local county governing body.
All right. Appreciate that. Mr. Harmon, do you want to come back up, or Mr. Patterson, and give any comment if you want to on the suggestion of Mr. Riddell? And Senator Eugene Timms, the principal sponsor of Senate Bill 965, how fortuitous. Just recovering from your birthday celebration, no doubt.
It's a great weekend, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Gene Kim, State Senator from District Number 30. First, I'd like to apologize to Mr. Harmon sitting here beside me that we didn't get this bill done sooner, and it's my fault. I just didn't follow through like it should have. I think it's a piece of legislation that needs to be done. It's happening out there every day. We need to take this tax situation out. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Dave Harmon because I can't remember the bill that well.
Well, he's already explained it, and there's no adverse testimony. The only issue is whether or not counties ought to have the option as to whether or not to accept this policy.
Do you have to be here?
Yes.
Yeah, he gave very good testimony as well.
Did he?
Yes.
Well, what am I doing here then? All I'm doing is screwing this up. I'm going
to... You're familiarizing yourself with this in case it passes this committee and you get to carry it on the floor.
I'd be more than glad.
Oh, we know you would.
Good for two hospital districts, I believe.
Lake County
and Running.
Four. Yep. Senator Byrne?
I have a question, and maybe it's one to a chance, and whoever has this can answer. Mr. Rydell's provision, isn't that covered in Section 2A? Seems to me it says that it only applies to taxing districts the governing body which has adopted by ordinance. Isn't that a county? Page 2, Jill, 3 to 5. I'm assuming the governing body of the tax.
You get the wrong bill.
You do? 2079, long ago?
Yeah, very nice.
His name is the wrong one.
I guess there's 2A.
I'm in the wrong one.
You want to answer the question?
I can answer it.
I
got it.
I'm just on the wrong one. Do you have any comment on this?
Sure, I haven't seen the memo. Is it prepared? Just a suggestion.
What I'm thinking is maybe this is a matter that could be taken up with another body if it's that large an issue, like the group across the hall.
Mr. Chair, that could possibly be done. And
just so that we might
utilize
that time well. I don't think you don't really have an objection to the bill.
Mr. Harmon wouldn't object to the bill or that amendment.
I don't believe so. I haven't really had time to think about it all that much.
You've already had sign-off from your county official, so I assume
yep.
If the amendment only says that they must have sign-off from the county governing body, then I would think that would be appropriate. I think most local small county governing bodies are supportive of their hospital districts anyway.
All right.
I guess the amendment would be very comfortable to us if we can move the bill to the other body.
So that is helpful, and I would just encourage Mr. Riddell to pursue that amendment if we can accommodate that through legislative council and suggest that that be presented to the House committee.
You have language in 2079.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you all. Is there anyone else who wishes to testify on Senate Bill 965? Now we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 965. We'll open a work session on Senate Bill 965. And Senator Wild moves Senate Bill 965 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there a discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Senator
Farr.
Aye.
Senator
Harson.
Senator
Spars.
Senator Wild.
Aye.
Senator
Miller. Both aye. Senate Bill 965 is passed to the floor. Close the work session on Senate Bill 965. Senator Kims will be given the responsibility of carrying that bill. All right. Yes, and just to advise the committee members who have arrived recently, Senate Bill 123 really took care of provisions that we had worked in House Bill 2052. So the chair is moving to rescind the vote by which we passed House Bill 2052. Is there a discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, we have rescinded the vote by which we passed House Bill 2052. It is back before us. The chair would move to lay House Bill 2052 on the table. Objection? Hearing none, it is at rest. And House Bill 2079, we have some additional amendment be proposed by member Senator Starr, who has been called away, and we will have that on our schedule on Thursday. So we will not be getting to that today. And finally, we have a work session scheduled on House Bill 2136. So we'll open up a work session, House Bill 2136. That's him, 1, 2, 3. Mr. Waters, pleasure to see you.
Likewise. As chair, members of the committee, last time, as you may recall, House Bill 29 or 2136 had a public hearing and a work session, although no action was taken. There was expressed some concern regarding Section 10 in the bill on page 8, which related to the Department of Revenue's authority to collect certain debts from quasi-state agencies. And I believe we had some testimony to that or against that particular provision and decided to defer acting until we could get some more information.
And we have received?
As far as I have heard, we have received no contrary opinions, I guess, to the language in the current bill, unless anyone is here to bring those forward.
Excuse me?
The whole crowd out there waiting to oppose.
Yes.
I'm kind of concerned.
Well, Mr. Marquis had come before us in the last meeting and raised some concerns with Section 10, but it's my understanding that the bill is, as written, is ready to go.
I understand.
Mr. Marquis? Well, Mr. Gilmore also had an interest in this bill, and I think he's satisfied that it's in good order.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Jim Marquis on behalf of the Oregon Collectors Association. I did raise the issue of whether Department of Revenue should be doing collections for people other than state agencies, and since then I have met with a representative of the State Accident Insurance Fund. And they pointed out to me that they are required to use the Attorney General in their lawsuits, which I think makes it problematic to assign these accounts particularly prior to judgment. And it would be easier for them to use the Department of Revenue. And I did also meet with a representative of the OHSU who does use revenue particularly for offset on taxes and would like to continue to do that. In checking with our legislative committee, with our association, they really didn't have much concern about those two entities. They did express some concern about revenue doing collections for local governments under sub C on page 8, lines 18 and 19, and we would continue to oppose that provision, but we wouldn't have any problems with sub B.
So if you have a copy of the bill, right?
Yes.
So if we deleted lines 18 and 19, your objections would disappear?
Yes.
All right. Are there questions? Mr. Marquis? Thank you.
Thank you.
We have the experts
from expert
the Department of Revenue.
Question
about Ms. Browning, Ms. McNary. Do you have a question for us?
Yeah. I wonder why lines 18 and 19 are there.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Susan Browning with the Department of Revenue. And 18 and 19 is kind of an interesting relationship we have with the Department of Corrections, and it's something fairly recent. Where the Department of Corrections, when I understand that their parolees are under their supervision, the Department of Corrections collects monies that they owe, the parolees owe, through the Department of Corrections. Once they move out into more of the community setting, they're actually supervised through an intergovernmental agreement with the county community correction agencies. So the parolees, any kind of fines or monies that the parolees owe at that point are under the governance of this county community corrections relationship. It is still money owed to the state. The gentleman from the Department of Corrections was explaining to me, but they're being supervised and the corrections is being taking place at a county level. Some of the counties collect that money directly, and some of them have asked the Department of Revenue to do that kind of collection work. We have the question because it is kind of more of a arm's length relationship now than it had been in the past, where we were collecting directly with Department of Corrections with their parolees when they had them under their wing, I guess you'd call it, the whole time. But now that they've got this relationship through an intergovernmental agreement with the county community corrections, the question came up for us, is that close enough where you still feel comfortable with our doing the debt collection piece of it? It's still the same group of people, but they just moved on further down the road. The parolees have moved out farther, as I understand.
These are people generally who have been in the correction system a while and are sort of on their way out?
Mr. Chair, Senator Beyer, that's how I understand it, right. They moved out into more of the community setting through the county community corrections group.
But that would be for those counties that have opted to operate the parole?
I believe so, Senator Beyer. I'm not a real expert on the parole and corrections piece of it, but as I understand, some county community corrections groups have entered an agreement with the Department of Corrections to supervise and provide more work with those parolees kind of down the road. And that includes, like, the collection of debts that they might owe.
This is most likely the restitution payment?
Mr. Chair, Senator Bayer, that would be a lot. The parole, as I understand, the parolees have to pay their supervision fees to help support the parole officers and some of that work as well, I understand. So there could be a variety of expenses related to their parole environment as well.
That's money that the state would be paying the counties to provide that service?
I believe so, Senator Bayer.
Does it also apply to people who are sentenced to less than a year under temporary funds?
Pardon? Senator?
Does it also apply to the people who are sentenced to less than a year and serve their time in a county facility?
Mr. Chair, Senator Bayer, I'm not certain about that. That operation works. I know I was specifically told that this is in relationship to the parolees that they used to have, and then they moved down. So
they're just paying for part of their supervision.
Mm-hmm. I understand it.
So if they don't collect it, it pays more.
Mr. Chair, Senator Beyer, my understanding is that it is owed to Department of Corrections by way of that route. As I mentioned, some of the counties are collecting it directly. I believe I've talked to some of the counties, and they do their own collections. They don't work with the Department of Revenue. It's simply the choice of the county community correction agencies how they wish to collect that debt, whether it's through private or using the Department of Revenue and the offset piece. That's my understanding of that piece.
All right. Thank you. And if there are other questions.
Thank you.
Well, House Bill 2136 is before us. The issue perhaps it remains is whether or not we continue to include lines 18 and 19 and one word or in line 17. So the chair will move that we amend the bill by removing the or in line 17 and lines 18 and 19. Is there a discussion?
No big deal. I'm going to end up.
If you want to take it out,
here's our
committee.
We aren't telling you.
Thank you.
I'm not objecting.
We'll have to get the LC.
I think you could delete it on an LC.
Yeah, deletion. Well,
it's late in the session. We can do that.
Yeah, you're the chair. You can do it.
What?
What? No.
All right. Well, then without objection, the OR in line 17 and lines 18 and 19 have been deleted from House Bill 2136. The amendments agreed to.
One small statement.
Yes. Senator Wilde.
On line 16 and 17, I do hope that for future sessions that as SAFE does migrate away from the state fold, which is their intention, that people pay attention to this, and as they do migrate away, that they do handle their own and not go through the Department of Revenue. Personally, I'm very curious as to when OHSU is going to be independent enough to deal with these things on their own. I find it a very curious situation where you're independent, but you're not. So anyway, with that...
Or quasi.
Yes, that's a wonderful word, which means all sorts of different things. But, okay, let's get on.
All right, I assume that get on with it is the equivalent of a motion to move Hospital 2136 to the
new style
amendment to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Absolutely.
Further discussion? If not, the clerk will call the roll.
Senator
Harrison,
Senator Starr, Senator Meyer.
Aye.
Vice Chair Wilde.
Aye.
Chair Mueller.
Vote aye. House Bill 2136 is passed to the floor. We'll close the work session on House Bill 2136. And we'll thank Senator Wilde for his, or this would be a Senator Hartung.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks, Senator Hartung.
Yeah. I believe he wanted to.
He wanted to share that election. Oh, I... You have the burning desire.
Is there anything further to come before the committee? If not,
we're done.
We are adjourned.
More responses.
Have you joined her?
Huh? What? Uh-oh.
They're kind of nervous about us passing that, aren't they? Or not passing.
What?
Which? Thanks for... Thank you.